This is Short-Term Rental Management, the show that is all about short-term rental property management, with your host, yours truly, Luke Carl. All right, we got Nick on today. It's a crazy show. I mean, this guy's story is nuts, and he's in Costa Rica. I think he's in Minnesota, which makes me understand why he would want to go to Costa Rica, because Minnesota's cold, right? But Nick's an awesome dude. He's got a great story to tell. It's all over the place and takes a lot of twists and turns, and he's a professional property manager in Costa Rica, and we are happy to have him on this week's episode of Short Term Rental Management. Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus. All right, Short-Term Rental Management. It is a glorious, yet again, Tuesday, and we're happy to have you here. Thanks for being with us on this wonderful morning, if that's when you happen to listen, if you're on time like I am. And I've got Nick today. Nick is he's based primarily in Costa Rica and has a property management company, but has a lot of experience in Costa Rica rental real estate. So, Nick, tell us about yourself and how you got started.
Well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity. And this is wonderful. So, thank you. Yeah, so it all started almost 20 years ago. So, a friend of mine had asked me, that guy I had known for years, said, you know, well, let's go down to Costa Rica and buy some land. And at the time, I was doing some corporate, strategy and marketing. That's my undergrad is from Cornell, and my MBA is from Kelley School of Business at Indiana University. And I said, sure, what the heck, let's do it. Let's just for fun and have a passive income. We flew down and ended up buying about 750 acres of land, of which 70% was in the jungle and in the mountains. And it was absolutely beautiful. And that has that snowballed. We ran into a lot of issues with that. I'll tell you, that's not as easy to develop real estate anywhere. But I can tell you in Costa Rica, especially when you're on the environmental side, there's a lot of rules and dealing with a lot of partners, as I think a lot of your listeners understand. Once you start bringing in a few partners, things can get a little challenging. So, but we went from there. We started selling some lots, and we started a real estate company then, a brokerage company. We had three offices and about 15 agents out selling. And then the crisis of 2000, the late aughts, the 2000, it really hit Costa Rica about 2010, 2009 to 2010, and carried through about 2013. And during that time, it allowed me to really start digging into numbers and things. And there were some irregularities. We ended up separating with my business partner and shutting down the brokerage firm, which was a great decision at that time. And at the same time, I had built my first house, my house, and it was put it up on Vrbo in 2009 in Costa Rica. So, and that just started its own journey. And then when the partnership broke up, you know, I ended up with another 150 acres in a different location next door to a golf course, of which I've spent the last 15 years finalizing permits and designs and everything else. And we are getting ready to launch this year, end of year 2024. So that will be 175 home residential real estate development next door to a golf course in Costa Rica. But as of you know, right now, day to day, at the same time, renting my house out from 2009. In about 2018-19, I officially launched with Abigail Vargas, OSA Property Management. So we are a property management vacation rental company. We manage about 50 homes up and down the coast of Costa Rica. So if you're familiar, basically from Jaco down south to Ojochal, that's just down the Pacific coast, southern Pacific coast. And we have owners from, you know, Belgium and France and the United States, and we have guests as of last count, from about 24 countries this year. So we have about 30 employees. and three offices. And those employees are part of a service company that I own also that handles all the cleaning and all the maintenance. And so that we spun that out for a couple of different reasons. But so we stay very, very busy. I love it, right? It has its own challenges, as every property management company does. And dealing with owners that are around the world in different time zones and dealing with different laws and rules and labor laws and registration laws and increasing registration laws as again, everyone in the short-term rental world's going through right now and trying to stay on the forefront of all of those.
Okay. So remind me what year this was that you made this original trek?
2005, March 2005.
And where did you live at that time?
Minneapolis, but I was in Minneapolis, which is where I still spend about half my time. I am a permanent resident of Costa Rica, but for my kids are up in Minnesota. So we go back and forth. I go back and forth all the time. And my kids come down with me a couple times a year and I'm up here back and forth.
So wait a minute, 2005, you're from Minnesota.
Yes.
And some friend of yours says, let's get on a plane and go buy real estate in Costa Rica.
That's it.
Had you ever been there?
Nope. I had been to about 20 countries at that time.
I'm not unfamiliar with other countries.
Right. No, and I love to travel. So I thought, I mean, it's on my list to visit anyway. So, and at the time I had enough investments elsewhere. I had a couple condos here in the Twin Cities. I was kind of not tapped out. I had some money that I was willing to go a little higher risk with. And that call came in at a perfect time. Yeah, just flew down and said, let's figure this out.
Oh, man. And no experience in real estate either?
Just owning investment property.
But oh, you no, did have an investment or two, a rental house?
Yeah. We had some condos here in the Twin Cities with another a business partner who I'm still friends with. Yeah.
And you were renting those long term?
Yeah, college students. They were around the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get to Costa Rica. This sounds like a movie here. I mean, you get to Costa Rica. How old were you?
It's almost 20 years ago. I was 30, about 30, 31.
So you get to Costa Rica, you get off the plane and you go poke around and you say, we're going to go buy 750 acres in Costa Rica.
Yep. The guy that headed up the group said he'd been talking to a real estate agent and he's got this piece of property that, you know, we're going to go see. I said, great. Now, bear in mind, no one in the group spoke a word of Spanish. I knew some. So I was the most advanced and I had taken Spanish, you know, 12, 13 years earlier in high school. So that was our extent up. And there were 10 or 11 of us down there and all, you know, in these rental cars. And our real estate agent was from the United States. So we had that connection. But, you know, at that time, Costa Rica was really, especially in our area, it's the last area of Costa Rica to be developed. And at that time, I mean, there was no bank within an hour and a half. I mean, we were still using traveler's checks when I think about it. I mean, think about it.
So wait a minute. Looking back on it, was this realtor like sketchy or did they know what they were talking about?
No, he knew what he was talking about. He's still down there and he's still very successful.
Oh.
So yeah, he was a pioneer really. Pretty interesting.
Okay, so you buy the 750 acres. How much does this cost? This is gold. I'm
yeah.
I have no idea this is going to be so fascinating. So how much did this 750 cost?
$1 million.
$1 million, and you went in on this with how many other dudes?
About 10. They're about
people. People.
Yeah. They're all guys, but yeah, they're okay. 10 guys. And I knew half of them. You know, so again, imagine the dynamics that quickly unfolded.
Each guy puts in 100, or are we financing?
No, there's no financing in Costa Rica. So it's
where does a guy at 30 years old get the 100 grand? Where did you get you the 100 grand? You had a job?
I was successful with my career and my other investments. So
and no significant other or children on the horizon at this point?
I had just gotten married.
Okay. And she didn't think that this was a wild, wacky idea?
She thought it was a horrible idea.
Okay. I would expect
you know what? And with that said, so did, you know, my father was very successful corporate. He was chief operating officer at Land O'Lakes for 20 years. So he was very corporate. And you know, when I went down there and I sent the money down, I quote, like, you are effing crazy.
Right.
Don't do that.
But here's my thing. I'm okay when dad thinks it's crazy. But when wifey or future wifey thinks it's crazy, then it's time to maybe slow down. Everything I've ever done.
It's an ex-wife now, if that means anything.
Oh, well, then. Well, now we're getting some juice. All right. Okay. But hold on. So we did go down. We did make it. Did this become successful, the 750 acres? Were you able to make it work in some capacity?
We cash flowed it enough to where we thought we were on a roll. And we sold some lots. We were starting to get some money back. And then, of course, then that's where you start learning. You know, now, remember, this area of Costa Rica, pretty much up and down the coast at that time, where we were in the mountains, had no electricity, had no water. It had a 4x4, four-wheel drive access only. That's still true today. So we had to pay the engineers. We had to get an engineering study. We had to put in 2 kilometers of electricity. I mean, this is really, really developing land. So,
and you were banking this on out-of-state investors wanting to buy here for vacation purposes?
Yep. Second home, retirement.
Vacation rentals.
I mean, you know, looking back, we were so naive and stupid, really. But it turned out to where that project was kind of a stepping stone to where, because that project did not make money. At the end of the day, we lost, right? But at the same point, you know, that was 2005 and 2006, we bought another 150 acres, which is the 150 acres.
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm not ready for that yet. So let's go back to the 750.
Yeah.
The plan was originally to maybe build on it and sell those, or just subdivide it and get
subdivide. Subdivide, put lots on there.
From day one, you were never going to build.
Correct.
Okay. And so you did start to sell some houses, and then you made some insinuation that it started to go awry there. What happened?
Yeah. So it turned out we did get some bad advice from some lawyers. We got some bad advice from
local lawyers,
local surveyors, and disagreement amongst lawyers, which one turned out to be 100% correct. And the other issue that took place very early on, there were 10 people, and kind of the dynamics that you just asked about, like other people or spouses questioning things. So some of the other spouses started getting on, you know, not real thrilled with the investment. So right away, I mean, within the first 4 months, 5 months, we had an investor say, I want my money back. And so we actually had sold a lot. We honored that. But, you know, suddenly that core group of 10 starts breaking apart right away. And what happened was the person that invited me down, again, a guy I knew for years at the time, started making unilateral decisions. And not sharing those decisions that were being made until myself and a couple other people started asking around of like, what happened to that lot? Why is that sold? And then a house was being built. And I said, we don't even have a record of that lot being sold. Oh, well, that was a gift to a guy who's going to build a house. I mean, just decisions that weren't even allowed in the corporate structure and the books we had. But he was living full time in Costa Rica and had legal authority to do so, right? I mean, he had the legal right to do that, but it wasn't good for a partnership. So
wait a minute. You know, it sounds to me like he was selling lots without you knowing about it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh my goodness. How much did a lot go for?
Between 75 and 150,000.
Woof. Oh my goodness. Okay. So how did this story end? This 750, did you exit? Did everybody exit? What happened?
Bankrupted it out. It's still around. I mean, there's homes that are built up there now. I don't own anything anymore. My shares are gone. I don't want anything to do with that.
Did you ate the 100 grand?
Yep.
You just said I'm out and keep, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah. It was starting to get, you put a bunch. Well, at the time then there was, again, another major decision was made to build a bunch of condos on a piece of property that no one had agreed to. But anyway, they started to get built. And again, a couple of the other partners ended up with free condos. And then there was threats of lawsuits and all of this and missing money or misappropriated money, I'll call it, to keep it. But complete misappropriation of money. And as we started to investigate during the financial crisis, right, then the financial crisis hits, and that just was a super emotional, super, super charged time as people who have invested and trusted, you know, the guy who was heading this up. And as a shareholder of the whole project, we didn't know what was going on. We couldn't get a straight answer. And then it became, we had board meetings, right? Then you'd have a shareholder meeting. And at one point it was 52%, 48%. There were like two groups, two factions. So, you know, at that point, it's just, that's a disaster, right? And that's the challenge of bringing, and that was the other challenge, right? This, the head of the group started partially not, at the time we had 10 shareholders all about, it wasn't a straight 10%, but it was about 10% per shareholder. Well, as we bought other shareholders back, right, when they wanted out, then he started, this other guy started signing off 1%, 2% owners. So suddenly it becomes this big group of people. And it was really challenging, and it became an extremely stressful situation, and something I'll never do again. Right, I just was too naive and lack of controls. So I guess any advice would be: make sure your controls are in place, make sure there's accountability, make sure it's very clear who can do what. And the minute, not at the minute, the New York second something isn't right, doesn't feel right. You know, you got to call out your partners on that, because it was one of those things. This was a legacy friendship where it was somebody that I knew for a long time. So I thought, well, he's not, you know, this can't be true, right? And you can start lying to yourself. Then you start digging in, and it became a scenario where I called a lawyer about it, and he said, yeah, we can, you know, a Costa Rican lawyer, like, we can definitely go there. It's going to be $250,000, and what do you hope to get on the backside?
So this, it sounds like this guy who was your friend ended up moving there and basically taking advantage of the situation and making moves that other people back in the States didn't really know about.
Correct.
Hmm. Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, great learning experience. You went to you spent $100,000 on some school, right?
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Which it sounds like you're familiar with spending money on school with such an education. So,
well, this was the real world. Like it's, you know, this was the real world education, the stuff they don't teach you about.
And so what happens next after the 750 acres?
So this was part of the complexity, right? So the first year and a half was smooth sailing, right? Selling lots, cash flowing. So we ended up buying another 150 acres in 2000.
Who's we?
The same guy and I. Instead of the 10, there's just two of us now.
Wait a minute. The same guy that moved down there and got sketchy?
But again, the first year wasn't at that point. The first year was fine.
Okay.
So then the next year, we buy 150 acre tract of land closer to the beach.
How much was that?
$1 million.
And it's 50-50?
No, we ended up going to people we knew, friends and family, right? And just saying, this is another project we're working on. Same thing, we had, I want to say 8 or 9, maybe 10 investors at the time. So what we did with that this was a pretty interesting concept we did. I'm still a fan of it, but I would modify it a little bit. What we decided to attract investors, we said, look, we're buying this land, it's $1 million. This is our expected, you know, we need to pay, we're obviously going to have expenses and the lawyers and all that stuff to start, and then to get it going and surveyors and whatever. So what we said was, we will sell, as we sell property and we collect revenue, we'll give 100% of that back to our shareholders for the first $1 million. So everybody's made whole. Then we start getting our cut. So we weren't doing straight 10%. That time we were selling shares for a price, I don't remember the price, like $40,000 for 1%. We thought the payout would be, the time, I think 10 million or no, 5 million. I'd have to go back. But again, this was 20 years ago. But what we said was, look, as we sell property, you're going to get you get all of your money first, even before us. So that's the guarantee that we're going to get this done. We want to get it done quickly. So same thing. That starts going really well. That's in 2006. In 2007, we ended up buying 250 acres next door to the 150 acres. And
so wait, at what point did this go sketchy with the original and you lost $100,000? That hadn't happened yet.
It was during the time we bought this third piece together.
Okay.
And we had brought in, we want to put in a golf course, or he did. So I said, oh, I don't know anything about that, but okay. So he, at that point, he went out to an investor group he knew, started raising money. And then that's when things started going a little sideways, was during this, there was a golf course project. And it's like, you know what? You know, as anyone who's built a golf course, the ongoing costs are really expensive. I said, I want out. At the same point, the financial crisis was starting to hit. So we're talking 2000. This would have been around 2008 or nine. My first child's born in 2008. My son's born in 2010. I mean, so there's a lot of family stress, family situation, the world's collapsing. And at the same time, I'm starting to notice there's irregularities. So I start pulling out and I start saying, look, I don't want to be a part of this project. I don't want to be a part of this one. You, and at the time we had the real estate company, we had bought and built a real estate office, a physical office.
And you started a brokerage down there?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you were right selling. Away, like, so you were basically brokeraging the lots yourselves.
Correct. And then we would broker other, you know, just a general brokerage firm.
And you were doing, you were selling properties to international people like all the yep. time. Just say, hey, call me up if you want to buy a vacation house in Costa Rica.
Yes. I mean, at the time it was just crazy up and through 2007. I mean, up until 2000, really eight and 2007, people would walk into our office and say, you know, I've got $400,000 to spend and I leave in 2 days. I need to buy something. Like, okay. We
kind of sounds like 2021, doesn't it?
Right. Well, there was another real estate agent that we had a good relationship with. When potential clients would come into his office and they say, I want to buy, he'd say, all right, we're going to put a $5,000 charge on your credit card right now. And if you don't want to agree to that, then just walk out the door, because in another hour, someone's coming in to buy something. I mean, it was wild, wild west.
This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Rental Listing Advice. Join this Facebook group and post your listing to get advice from other hosts, including myself, on how you can improve your listing. Or just post your property so you can show off. Join us at strlistingadvice.com. That's strlistingadvice.com. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Which we did see a little of that in 2021, 2020.
Right? Yeah. 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 I mean, I don't even touch real estate sales, brokerage sales at all right now. So, but yes, I was watching and obviously in Costa Rica, we've still see it. There's still been a big run up. It's just now starting to cool off. I mean, as we start managing properties, yeah, it's been a 5 year run. It's unbelievable. 4 year run.
But you're not seeing the bottom drop out like you did in the 09.
No.
Things are pretty healthy and smooth there.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no financing. So what happened was the reason why the collapse did happen in Costa Rica. It was just delayed. And the reason for that is the owners that had their second home or third home in Costa Rica, as the crisis is hitting their first home, whether that's primarily the United States or Canada, it was like they were just holding off, saying it's not going to get any worse in the United States. When things started to collapse and mortgages had to get reset and all of that other business and the economy collapsing or people losing their jobs, then it all hit at once. And people started saying, I need cash. I need cash flow. So I'm going to sell my property in Costa Rica. I'm going to sell my house. And it's as if it all hit within a 6 month period. And I mean, prices collapsed 60%, 70% through 2013. And then they've been coming up since. And then, but the big run has been since COVID.
And you're not seeing anything resembling what that was like today? Because things are definitely a little slower now, aren't they?
They're slower in terms of transaction time, but that's a reflection of the price. I mean, I think the prices potentially will pull back a bit in Costa Rica. It's quality, right? The quality stuff is always going to be have a high value, right? Proximity to beach, incredible ocean views. There is a global market for that. Those homes always hold their value better than an average 3-bedroom in the mountains with okay ocean views. Like, those are the ones that are more susceptible to big swings up or down. So there was a big swing up. I think, you know, as we look at the property management side of things, it's, you know, we're looking for properties that have uniqueness of some sort. That's a change in our strategy, just because of all the construction that's taken place. Supply has gone up in Costa Rica a lot across the country. So if there's going to be any slowdown, we would expect to see that. The problem is there's no MLS in Costa Rica. There's one that's set up, Rebecca Clower out of Guanacaste. She's been part of a group that set that up. But again, that's not by law and it's not mandated. And as of now, there's still very little traction. It's been something that's been planned for 20 years since I've been going to Costa Rica, but you know, that has to have some sort of teeth into it, and it doesn't have it yet.
Okay. Fascinating. All right. So the golf course, back to the golf course that disappeared. Is he still doing that?
No, he's out. I mean, there was a warrant for his arrest for a while. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, where's this guy now?
Florida.
Oh, okay. That's where I am.
Well, be careful.
So arrest for what? Fraud or something?
As I understand, yes. I wasn't involved with that case.
All right. Well, you got out. You got 100% out, and then what? So
when we broke up, like we basically did a business breakup. I said, you take this, you take that. I'm going to take this, and so what I got was his shares of 150 acre development. During the crisis, then we started buying out our shareholders because we had ongoing costs. I mean, anyone with the development raw land knows there's still costs beyond taxes, right? We still had maintenance costs. We still had engineering. We were designing it, planning out at 150 acres. That takes a lot of roads, planning, and all sorts of stuff. And so by that time, all of our shareholders had been made whole. We had sold enough lots on that 150 acre project to make everybody whole. But we had never done a cash call, and we were funding it ourselves. By we, it's my father and I. And so we went to the shareholders and said, look, we can either cash call you or buy you out. So we bought out all the shareholders. And so now my brother and I own 96% of it. And then a Costa Rican, our project manager, has the other 4%. So that way there's skin in the game for the project manager, also for budgets and everything else. So after all of that, I have 150 acres. This is right around 2009 and 10. My house is built. It's on Verbo. And we're just kind of waiting for everything to calm down a bit in terms of business relationships, shareholders. We ended up buying the last shareholder out like in 2015. I mean, it took a time. It took a while for us just to get kind of work through all of that. And then when I took over that 150 acres, there were some challenges we had to do with changes of laws for developments, you know, road widths, things like that. All these things that we had planned out and paid an engineer for, suddenly we had to redo. And that's when I took over that project, officially took it over in 2010. The first thing I did was my project manager said, go get this property resurveyed. It's 150 acres. It's a lot. And by the third pin, the surveyor said, this entire property is off. Like your previous survey was off by about 3 meters, like 10 feet. It had been tilted. It was off. So we had to resurvey everything. Again, lesson learned. It took me a solid 5 years to find a team that is reliable.
Let's fast forward. You started this property. Did you fall in love with Costa Rica at some point? Was that fair to say?
Right away. I mean, it reminded me. So I've spent some time as a student and working in Australia, and it reminded me of the jungles of Australia, right? Just really, really kind of raw, super friendly people, like really friendly people. And right away. So, the Pura Vida spirit, right? Pura Vida is like the Australian no worries. You know, Pura Vida is a greeting. It's when you say goodbye to somebody, it's good morning. Pura Vida means pure life. And it's really the spirit, which is, you know, as Americans, we push, we're constantly pushing. I want more. This needs to be done faster. This Pura Vida, it's not, you're not going to change a culture. So I liked that. Now it's had some challenges initially when you start running businesses, but again, that gets into hiring and hiring the right people, which we do now, but the people, the wildlife, right? I mean, 5% of the world's known plants, animal species is found in one national park. I mean, it's crazy. It's the size of West Virginia. So you have this concentrated, about 25% of the country is protected. So you have this small country, super concentrated with wildlife, and there's more bird species in Costa Rica than the United States and Canada combined. So if you're a birder, it's a great place to go. And it has more microclimates than the United States and Canada combined, because it's got the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. It has 13,000 foot mountains. It's got dry savanna jungles.
Now hold on, this pitch, you use this pitch on prospective clients as well, right? Like,
come on down. That's what I'd say. And then right. Once they're down there, they get it.
Yeah, you get it. Okay. So then at some point you said, listen, there is money to be made here. I want to invest my life here. Oh, you got the host filling mug. Nice. And so you said, let's go ahead and do the property management side of things. I guess, honestly, that's probably the next logical step to take here. So when did that all come about?
The property management was, like I said, in 2009, I was managing the property. We had built a couple homes on this 150 acres, three. So I was managing four homes and on spreadsheets and saying, I know there's a market for this. I know there's a market. I can't find the right person. Again, remember, I'm flying back and forth. So I can't find the right team or the right people, because even on my own house, you know, you need a repair. You pay somebody to fix it. You show up a month later, hasn't been done. They've said it's been done. I mean, it's just the lack of accountability. And so I was actually in a meeting for my development, my 150 acres, as water is critical in Costa Rica. For us, it's water mitigation, but the water supply, again, buying land, raw land in Costa Rica, we had no water, no electricity for any of the tracts of land we bought. So you have to go and build water systems and get permission. Because in Costa Rica, you also do not own any of the natural resources. So if you find gold in your property, the government owns that. So whether it's gold or water, the government owns that, and you need to go through a whole process that takes years to get access to that water. Now, in our case, we actually didn't even have water pipes running to the property. So we need to find the water, then we need to get pipes, and that involves a local water board. So I was at the local water board at a meeting, and Abigail Vargas was there, and this meeting's all in Spanish. And I didn't understand a word, and we're trying to translate it. My project manager and my lawyer speak English, but we couldn't think of it. Abigail Vargas was the secretary at the water board, the ASADA, it's called, and she translated this word or phrase. And I said, oh, there's somebody else here that might be able to help me on the property management. So again, I'm still using spreadsheets and I'm stuck at four houses. So I said, I went to pay my bill then once. I said, I need to talk to you about an idea I have. And so, you know, she lived near the project. She lived near these four houses. And I mean, there's a whole story on that. But I said, look, I need somebody in country to help me out. And at the same point, she had always had a dream of running a home cleaning business. So I said, well, look, I've got some houses that need cleaning. Maybe we can help each other out. So that's how we started OSA Property Management. And it started where she was still working at the water board. So we would have to do check-ins at noon or after she got off work. At the time when she first started, she didn't have a driver's license. So we were paying for taxis. I mean, she was cleaning houses. She was bringing family members to clean houses, you know, showing up late to work when a client arrives late for a noon check-in. I mean, this was absolutely, looking back, very, very funny, but it was always challenging and enjoyable.
Wow. Okay. So, man, so the property management company started what year?
We would officially say 2019.
Okay. And now you have what, 50 units?
Yep.
Okay, let's talk about that. So first question, how are you sourcing clients? Are they buying them with an agent friend of yours and then they come to you, or do they already own them? Or all of the above?
All the above. We have a couple agents that have been very, very good to us. We have some agents that don't like us. And there's a reason for that, which is we do home inspections as well. And we give the honest truth. And real estate agents know that, and they don't want our honest truth until their agent has purchased the property. So, you know, our most extreme example was we had a guest walk into our office, or a homeowner, and walk into our office and said, we've got a house. Our real estate agent says it's ready to go. And Abigail Vargas, my head of operations, just went and take a look at it and said, oh my God, there's something with the electrical. Long story short is it's $50,000 worth of electrical work that needed to be done that a $500 inspection would have discovered very, very quickly. So for us, we source clients through our trusted real estate agents that we know and respect. And a lot of times it's online. Our offices are important. You know, our best homeowners actually are ones who have done it themselves, try to do it themselves first, or have gone with another company. So,
And were you self-managing yours from Minnesota?
Yep.
And no issues?
Oh, issues all the time. I mean, you know.
But no more issues.
It's funny
than
you brought
up were...
the hostfully thing, right? The double booking on Christmas.
But no more
before,
issues.
Before hostfully, yeah, when I was using spreadsheets. And then that's when I said, oh my gosh, like there has to be something better. So it was Orbital Rental at the time. I've been with them for years. So yeah, but so I then that was a you know the introduction to a PMS, which I just Googled it. And I didn't
But it
even
was
know
no more difficult than if this house were to have been in North Carolina, right?
For sure. Right. That's right. I mean, I can't drive to it. So
right. Okay. Got it. Okay. All right. So 50 units. Let's talk about the inner workings of the management company right now. You what management software are you using?
Hostfully.
You do like it?
Love it.
Love it.
Absolutely love it.
What do you love about it?
The interface, the simplicity, the service, the customer service is fantastic. I've gotten to know David Jacoby and Margo, like the two CEOs. And
Margo's been on the show. She's great.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So both of them have, both of them have rented from us. So, and David Jacoby was really the reason why we are where we are today. So he actually came down, he called me this is several years ago, 3 years ago, I think, three years ago, and said, hey, we're supposed to go to like Chile with my family, but my son's passport's going to expire. They won't let him in. He's called me from the San Francisco airport. He sent me a text, call me urgent. I thought, oh my gosh, something's going on, right? With hostfully. Like I just didn't, and I didn't know David that well at the time. So I called him, he said, can we go to Costa Rica? I said, yes. I said, when? He goes, tomorrow. I said, well, give us 48 hours. We can get a house prepared. So we were trading, you know, links to the house, and he ended up coming down with his family for several months and rented a couple of homes from us and did some training for our staff. And then one time we were out to dinner and he's like, look, I need an hour in private with you. He said, I want to kind of see where you're at, see what your vision is for the company. So, okay, great. So the next day we took a hike. And he said, where do you see OSA Property Management going? And I kind of told him this. And I told him about some software ideas. My brother's a programmer. And I was talking about how I wanted to do this software thing. And turns out there's a company called Breezeway that already did all of that he told me about that I didn't know. I mean, all I knew was hostfully. And he said, look, if you're serious about this company, this business, you know, you need to become members of Verma and you need to go to the Verma show, period. That will open your eyes and see what you're, you know, what's going on. I said, okay, so I did. I mean, that day I went back, signed up for VRMA and became members. And then I went to the first show in San Antonio. That was the first one I went to. So that's 2022, I believe. And, you know, at the time they had missed the year before. So people are talking about how small it was, but for me, it was eye-opening, you know, and he asked me, he said, look, what you're describing in terms of kind of managing properties and cleanings, there's a company called, you know, there's a couple companies that do it. So he gave me a couple names and I went through and interviewed them and we used Breezeway. And then he talked about pricing software, right? So he, all during this hike, he said, look, there's companies out here that they're just going to make your life easier. You're going to generate more revenue. You're going to, you know, and so for us, that was the first time someone had told me about this industry. The rest, I just was trying to learn on my own. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I go to Verma. Then I go to Verma and I'm sitting there during the general session. And you know, we all have masks on at the time. And I feel a slap on the back. And my old college roommate and fraternity brother, Mike Alsko from Coastal Home and Villas in Hilton Head, he's like, what are you doing here, Nick? I said, well, I know I run a property management. He's like, so do I. So, you know, there it's just this world has just started, all these worlds started coming back together. It's been amazing.
Wonderful. All right. Well, what's next? Do you have a goal? Are you looking to get to like 200 units or something?
Yeah. So we have a goal to get to 75 first, then 100. And I'll tell you, we're up to 68, 69 doors. So we have a couple of properties that have, you know, unit A, unit B, and A plus B, right? So that'd be three, although it's one unit. We took a decision in late 2023, early 2024, where we really started to decide. We were having some challenges with some homeowners in terms of treatment of our employees, tone. I mean, just what I felt, you know, not professional, although their houses generate a lot of revenue. So you're kind of conflicted. We decided to say enough. Like we are focusing on owners in 2024. So with the right homes, with the right owners, that's our focus in 2024. So
not looking to go huge. You want to be selective and choose the right owners.
Yes. We still want to be big because we have the infrastructure in place. And we're the biggest in the area right now. We're about 2X. Yeah. I mean, so as you start pushing north to like Hako and Guanacaste, they're up to, I think, 150. I mean, Picasa's got 300, but they're scattered throughout. So there's companies in Guanacaste, Tamarindo, Playa de Coco that have, I think, 150, much bigger than us at 50. But we were at, you know, almost 70, 90 days ago. And we just decided like enough. And so and you know what we've learned? At the same point, we hired a revenue manager. And by getting smaller, we're now projected to have 40% higher sales. We're focused on better properties. We're trending right now at over 41% above last year on year, with fewer homes. So what we realized was we were growing, and we were managing a lot of homes that were taking too much resources, time, energy, for not a big enough return. And we were putting up and spending a lot of human capital dealing with owners that don't fit who we are, which is, you know, we're very professional. We're the only legally operating property management company in our territories. So, which means we're registered with all the local municipalities, we're registered with the tax authorities, we're registered with SUHEP, which is an anti-money laundering organization. We know that because we check that, to the point that the municipality in one of the areas we work in has asked us to say, you know, help us what we're missing, you know, educate us. You know, we're tied in with Homes and Villas from Marriott, and I've explained to them several times. You know, there were a couple of times they had homes on their property where I said, look, you're working with an illegally operating company. So, you know, as this industry is coming under attack with regulations and stuff, it's in all of our best interest to make sure that all of us are following the rules, because then it becomes easy for regulators to put in terrible rules, that the New York City type rules that none of us want to see.
Hmm. Okay. All right. If I'm a guy in Florida and I want to buy a house in Costa Rica, can I buy that house and make money off rentals? Or is it just a part-time situation, et cetera?
Could you do it? Yeah. I mean, working with us? Absolutely. We've got some homeowners that do very, very well.
Interesting. But I got to buy it
all. And in Costa Rica, you own it. So it's not like Mexico. So as long as you're not 200 meters from the high tide mark, this is fully titled property in your name or corporation name.
And this is all cash is the downside?
The downside's all cash. There are a couple banks that are saying they're offering financing. We have one client who's gone through it, and he said it was the most painful thing he's ever done. But at least there's a toehold right now. But the U.S. banks won't do it. I mean, you have to pull a line of credits or anything else.
And how much does one of these houses cost?
The nice ones are $1 million or more. I mean, the best cash flowing ones, in terms of ROI, you can get good ones for $300,000. It just depends what you're looking for. You know, if it's a straight investment and you're looking at it as an ROI, $350,000. You know, our houses, as we're coming out to, you know, Villa San Buenas, we'll be launching later this year. We're coming in the high twos. Those will do very well. If you're looking at a luxury home, 4 to 5 bedroom with great ocean view, it's $1 million or $2 million.
Interesting. Okay.
Remember, Costa Rica is a global destination, right?
Do I have some sort of tax advantage? Is there a tax advantage?
No, property taxes are 0.25% for the first $300,000 to $400,000. And then after that, there's a little bit of a luxury tax. But in terms of compared to the United States, it's property taxes are very low. There's no tax advantage in terms of as a U.S. citizen, right? The U.S. The IRS has direct access to all banks in Costa Rica. So there's no banking advantage. Their banking systems are actually quite good and quite advanced. But there's not a tax advantage to speak of. But, you know, again, as we manage properties, we keep, so we have in-house accounting as well to make sure we do all bill pay. Like, you'll never pay a bill. Like, we pay all your bills with the rental income and everything else. But, and then in the moment you sell your house, you get, you can offset, you know, some of the capital gains and all of that. But we have all the, we keep all the records for that.
Got it. Okay. Well, listen, this is a fascinating story. It's absolutely fascinating. What's the future? You're just going to focus on the property management company, or we're going to have a new wife? Anything like that?
Well, but yeah, I mean, Abigail Vargas and I are together. So I guess, I mean, you know, you put me on that spot here. I'm turning red.
Oh, so love is in the air.
Sí, señor.
Okay.
So the property management is still our focus. I am launching, you know, Via San Buenas later in 2024, which will add an element of the development. There's a bunch of people, you know, engineers and everything else working on that now. So that will come, we'll come back to the sales side of that probably in 2025, but at its core is our property management. And one thing we didn't even touch on during COVID, we started a tour company, its own LLC, because we handle so many people coming into our homes. They're coming there for tours. So we started our own tour company.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. Well, listen, fascinating. Yeah. Unfortunately, ladies, he's not an eligible bachelor at this point in time. But I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and stay in touch. I love it. It's good stuff.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity. It was fun.
What's your management company called again?
OSA Property
OSA.
Management.
What does that
OSA,
mean?
Property. OSA is actually a region in Costa Rica.
Oh, that's the name of the area.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, real quick. I named it that because for SEO reasons.
Right.
I needed property management in the name, and OSA is only three characters. So.
Yeah, that's why. Complicate things. You make people confused when you come up with these weird names. You know, it's just
that's right.
Like the short term shop.
That's right. It's
makes
exactly
perfect
the same.
Sense. But anyway, all right, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. It's short term rental management. Don't overthink it.